Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Invitation to the Thirsty.
If you'll join me in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this opportunity, Lord, to share your word, to speak it. Lord, we ask now that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I think it was on, Thursday night, I called John Gable and I said, I don't know if I'll be able to make it on Sunday, John. He said, why is that? I said, because I feel horrible. And so then I thought about my seminary days and what my professor said, what to do when you're sick and you have to preach. And he said, you just do it. But thankfully, I feel a lot more better. But unfortunately, my voice is a little bit weak this morning. This morning, we're going to take a look at the book of Isaiah, but particularly, we're going to be looking at Isaiah 55. And in fact, if you want, and maybe I'd encourage you as well, why don't you just open up the Bible that's in front of you or the one that you brought with you to Isaiah 55. It's kind of it's a long prophecy, but it's one that I want to look at together. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be taking a look at two prophecies from the book of Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 55, which we'll look at today, and then next week we'll take a look at Isaiah 61. And the reason I chose both of these is because so much of the New Testament, of who Jesus is, how we know that the child born in Bethlehem was the promised Messiah, comes actually from the book of Isaiah. As the New Testament authors thought, and as they were, of course, guided by the Holy Spirit, they went back to these old prophets, and they said, wow, there are these patterns, there are these modes, these ways that are crafted into history where we understand who Jesus is. And so Isaiah 55, in particularly, is really about grace. And it's really talking about the life that Jesus will offer to those who come to believe in him. And so Isaiah 55 begins very much like this. It says, ho, which is, I had to look that up because I didn't know what that meant. And it's an old English term for come or call. Pay attention. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. I'm going to just stop here for a moment. One of the things that Isaiah 55 picks up at, and we'd have to do quite a bit of backtracking to understand, is this part of the whole book are really now the messianic promises that are starting to be given. And a few chapters before, we have that very famous chapter about the suffering servant, the one who will take upon all the sins of the world and will carry the sins and the loads of the people, so that the people may live free and have forgiveness. But here in this verse, what we discover is we discover grace in the one who gives grace. Now, let me tell you a little bit something about what's going on in this chapter. This chapter is also written during the time of the exile. So the Jews have now been, all of them, have been taken out of the land, some in Assyria, some in Babylon. And one of the things that we know during this time that was very tumultuous for the people is that they wonder to themselves, have we gone so far away from God? Have we committed such sins that God could ever truly forgive us and restore us? Is there any grace left for people like us who are rebellious and who have given up our ways? And this is what God says. Yes, there is forgiveness. There is grace. And so God tells the people to come. Come, all who are thirsty. Come and buy wine and milk. Come and buy these things without any money. And so what really God is telling the people here is he's saying, I know that you think you have done things so bad, that you have sinned so horribly, that the only way that you can actually come back to me is through great acts of penitence. If you maybe bow to your knees, if maybe you offer a certain amount of prayers, or if maybe you do X and Y sacrifices. But God says, you know, all that stuff, you had it before, and it didn't really work well for you, did it? So now I'm going to provide a whole different way for you to be forgiven. And God says, why don't you just come and receive it? Come and be set free. Now, this message of being to come and to receive forgiveness, to come and receive love, to come and receive, is really the message of grace. But one of the things that I have noticed in my life, personally, but also notice in the life of some of us here, is that grace is a very hard concept for many of us to believe and to hold on to. Because in some ways, we cannot really believe that God's grace could truly be free. It's very hard to believe that a God that is so generous and so loving could actually love us and forgive us so easily. And yet, that is exactly what Isaiah says. You know, during Christmas time, one of the things that I observed with my family was the way that my little cousins would open their gifts. And, you know, kids are so interesting. When they open gifts, they look like animals. I mean, they just like tear into the wrapping paper, just like, what's in this? But you know one thing that kids don't do? Kids don't take a step back and ask themselves, do I deserve this gift? Did I earn it? Was I a good enough kid to my parents this year that I am worthy to receive this gift? What will I owe if I take this gift? Who will blackmail me? Who will I be in debt to because I receive this gift? You see, kids don't take an existential step backwards and think to themselves, am I worthy? But yet adults do. Adults take that step and they say, am I worthy, God? Am I worth it? So here's one thing that Isaiah says. He says, because I know that humans are like this, because God knows that humans have this propensity where they want to be religious, where they don't necessarily like to receive grace for free, because humans are religious people. We want to earn, we want to feel like we deserve God's grace. Isaiah says, well, here's the thing. What if I told you that all of this was already paid for? And that's why there's no need to have money. There's no need to come and buy wine or milk with any coins or whatever you might have. Because the Son of David has already paid the price for us. And this is what that prophecy is saying. He's saying, all this grace that I am going to give, all this love, all of these gifts that I will shower the people with, those who feel that they have sinned and have gone so far away from God that they could never, ever be forgiven. God says, come to me, all of you who feel that way. Come, receive, drink, and know this. You can drink and have all that you want. This is better than a buffet bar. He's saying, come and drink and eat of God's grace, because the Son of God has already paid the price. The Son of David, the servant of David, the descendant of David has paid for this. So then Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. One of the things that Isaiah does call the people to, though, is he's saying, with this invitation, though, with this call to grace, there is always a response to grace. And this was something that was very foundational for me as a Christian, and it's definitely foundational for me, I think, also as a pastor, is that there is always a response to God. There's always a response to an invitation from God. It's not just out there. I mean, an invitation can just be a standing invitation, but you do have to somehow say yes or no to it. And in this way, what Isaiah is saying, he's saying, people of God, here's the invitation. You are asked and you are being called to one of the greatest free-for-alls that has ever been offered in the history of humanity. You can come and receive grace, and the price and everything has been paid for you. But your response is this: seek the Lord and call upon him. You know, seeking God is one of the responses that you and I have in our lives. There are two ways of seeking God. The first way of seeking God is the way of knowledge. That is a way where we seek to know a lot about who God is, what God has done. We seek to memorize dates, perhaps the succession of kings, the names of children. And that's good. That's a way of seeking God. It's a way of seeking knowledge. But that's not necessarily what Isaiah is talking about. He's not talking about seeking God through Bible memorization. But rather, he is saying, seek God in the way that God is. Who is God? Is God generous? Is God gracious? Is God merciful? If so, seek him and you will find him. So first, we are called to seek God. And secondly, it says we are to call upon him while he is near. Now, what this means for us is that there is a time for forgiveness, and there is a time also to turn away from our sins. And this is really the biggest role and the biggest responsibility and response that the Jewish people needed to make, and that all of us need to make throughout our lives, is we need to call upon the Lord while he is near. We need to ask for forgiveness. Now, forgiveness, as you and I know, is actually a turning. It is, we were going in one direction, and now we are going to go in an opposite direction. And so what the scriptures here tell us is that for us to be restored, for us to be involved and enveloped and surrounded by this beautiful grace that is offered to us, we are to seek God, seek his character, seek his attributes, live into those attributes, and we are to ask for forgiveness. Now, the interesting part here is it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. A lot of time when people read this verse, they think to themselves, I think what this is telling me about is the plans that I have for my life, that somehow I need to focus my thoughts and the plans that I have for my life upon what God's thoughts and God's plans are for my life. But that would actually be taking the whole scripture verse out of its context for the moment. What Isaiah realizes about forgiveness and about seeking God is that it's actually counterintuitive to humanity. He realizes that human beings don't actually like doing these things. Human beings love to be free, but they love to be free in sin. And that's why Isaiah says, the thoughts of humans are not the thoughts of God, and the ways of humans are not the ways of God. But, the thoughts and the ways of God can become our ways and our thoughts as well. And then I'll read the rest of this. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall never be cut off. The last thing that Isaiah tells us here, how do we know that the offer of grace and the offer of forgiveness is valid? How do we know that this is assured? And this is a beautiful thing that Isaiah says. Because God's word, or God's words, are full of promise and full of truth. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to worry. You can question it, but it's true. And that's what Isaiah finishes the book, the prophecy with. He says, forgiveness and grace, these things are assured because God willed them. God provided. God made the way. Now, when we think about the life of Jesus Christ, he fulfills all of these things, and he fulfills them for us even today. As I was thinking about this sermon, and I thought about its message, and I thought about its truth, I thought to myself, how does this message come alive to people like me and people like you, who perhaps have already taken that first step of knowing Jesus Christ? Of course we know that grace is free. Of course we know that because it's free because of the Son, because of Jesus Christ. And of course we know that it's because of the promises of God's word that this is true. We know that. But the one thing that I thought about for myself, though, and I thought about for us as a church and as a community, though, is this. We need to know again and again, not only for ourselves, but for those who live and those whom we love and those whom we are surrounded with, that grace is really free. It really is free. A few weeks ago, I saw this. There's a fight, really. It's out kind of in the middle of the street. I think it was a man and a woman. I'm not really sure. And I was driving by, and it looked horrendous. It looked like a wreck. Two people going at it in the middle of Meridian. Daylight, no shame. And I felt like God quickened my spirit to say, this is humanity. This is what life without grace looks like. And this is why I came. Friends, you may not be airing out your laundry like these two folks did on Meridian the other day. But I know many of us here, and I know myself, that we have many places in our lives where we need the grace of Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and to transform and to change us again. If it's not for us, then it's for someone that we love. And so, friends, this is really good news. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks this day for your blessings, your love, your compassion. We thank you, God, that your grace is truly free. And so, Lord, on this day, I thank you, Lord, for your words. Lord, I pray that in some way this message may touch our hearts. So, Holy Spirit, it obviously can't be me this morning. I can only trust upon you. So, Holy Spirit, please do a work that is greater than my words. Please do a work that is greater than me, because I love these people and I want them to know you and your grace. Please speak to us, Holy Spirit.